stand for prayer.
Father, we rejoice this day. Lord, it's a very joyful day. Many prayers have gone into this. We pray your blessing upon Nathan, Timothy, and Andrew today. I want to commit this next few minutes here to you. Lord, as I seek to share some thoughts on baptism, we just pray that it could be clear, that it could be according to your word, that it could be helpful, Father. But may the Lamb that was slain receive the reward of his sufferings. Father, may we all today as we witness this be inspired to yield ourselves to your service as we sang this morning. Father, we just commit this time to you. Lord, we pray that you work in the hearts of those who may not yet be surrendered, whose hearts, doors you're still knocking at. We pray that you would speak to them today through this occasion. We just bless those who traveled a long ways to come. Lord, we just pray your blessing upon the Smith family as they're here and others as well. Father, we love you, Lord. We just ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. And die. We'll rewire here. Yeah, when we discussed baptism two brothers' meetings ago, I think it was suggested that we could have a sermon on baptism, so I was asked to take that, and so I endeavored to look at the topic of baptism, and I wasn't sure what to call it, I just called it baptism here, so we'll endeavor to do that. I'm not sure how it'll go. There's a number of scriptures we could look at. I don't want to belabor it, but I think I have maybe six or seven points that we'll try to just move through here this morning. And so we know that baptism follows salvation, right? The Anabaptists, our Anabaptist forefathers, rejected the idea of infant baptism, and so they went ahead to be rebaptized as they came to Christ. That's something we have in our heritage. That's what Anabaptism means. Anabaptists are people who've been rebaptized. And so by that point, we believe it's important that baptism occurs after your born-again experience. So first, there's repentance. There's turning from the old life of sin. There's surrender. There's faith in Jesus Christ. There's a confession of sins. And then that following is baptism. So we feel that it's important that it comes after baptism. I myself have been rebaptized. When I was baptized the first time, I didn't understand faith, and my salvation wasn't complete. And afterwards, when I came to understand what it meant to believe in Jesus for salvation and found peace in my heart, then I felt convicted to be rebaptized. So we believe salvation occurs before baptism. So why are we baptized? Well, I think it's a simple reason is the Scripture commands it, right? The Scripture commands it. Jesus led by example, right? He was baptized. I wondered before why Jesus was baptized. He didn't have any sins that he needed to repent of. He says, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness, I think he says. And John went ahead and baptized him. And so we're commanded to. Jesus gave the example of it. And I think we don't have to understand all the deep significance of it. I don't still. But I think we can maybe try to understand a little bit this morning of some of the types of it. Turn to your Bibles in Mark chapter 1. We'll look a little bit here at repentance. Repentance. In Mark chapter 1, verse 4, it says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And Matthew 3, verse 6 says, and were baptized of him, John, in Jordan, confessing their sins. And so the repentance we see here is a very important thing. It's something that needs to take place in our life before baptism. There's a verse that says, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh. There's nothing about that water that physically washes dirt away that is, you know, it's not the water washing dirt away, but the answer of what? A good conscience. A good conscience. And so there's the thing of confession of sins. I wonder how that would have looked there. All those people lined up there along the Jordan River, it says they were confessing their sins. And maybe it was your turn. The one in front of you was baptized. Now it's your turn. You step up. You step up. I don't know how it was. But you confess your sins. I did this. I did this. I did this. And you confess your sins. Got it all out. Good conscience. Then you stepped in the water and were baptized. Confessing their sins. The baptism of repentance. They were all baptized with him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. It's what took place. And then you know the story there of when the Pharisees and the different ones came up there, publicans, whatever, whoever they were, and John says, you fellows are not repentant. Bring me proof that you are repentant of your sins. You know, it's not to say that you have a good heritage. There needs to be proof, fruits of repentance. So, baptism must be done in sincerity. All your sins confessed. A good conscience and with fruits of repentance. It should be evident that your heart has turned from your old life of sin. That was repentance. Another thing it's a type of, it's separation from the old life. Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And that wasn't a literal baptism there. It wasn't a baptism ceremony. But Paul writes here that was a picture of baptism. They in a sense, the Israelites, as they passed through that sea, and they came out of the other side, and that sea came back together, and it destroyed their enemies. And it separated them from their old life, right? They couldn't go back over it. The path was closed back up. It's a picture of baptism. A separation, a dying to the old life. That's behind us now. We've left Egypt, and we're now going towards the promised land. And in their picture, there was deliverance from the enemy. There was a power that was broken and destroyed through that act, through that experience of Egypt was forever broken. That yoke of Egypt was forever broken on them. They still had to deal with it in their heart, though, right? They did. So it's a picture of baptism. Baptism is a picture of separation from the old life. Another picture, Abner touched on this already, is identification with Christ. It's a picture of identifying with Him. Turn your Bibles to Romans 6. Romans 6. Verse 3 through 5, and these kind of run together. Separation from the old life and identification with Christ. They're sort of together. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And I don't understand all of this, our identification with Christ. You know, it says we're seated with him in heavenly places. it says that, you know, here that those of us that are baptized were baptized into his death. And so as you step into the water today and you are baptized, you are joining with Christ in a very real way. You're identifying with him. You are, it's a picture of dying to your old life and being raised and walking in newness of life. And there's something, I believe, spiritual, something significant that happens in that picture of that. That you are putting your identification with Jesus Christ. He wants us to join our lives, wrap our lives very intimately in him. We walk with him. His Spirit's in us. And we're Christ to you, the hope of glory. I and them and they and thou and me. I don't understand it all, but it's identifying with him. It's dying the old life. And we're joining with Christ. We're going to walk with him. His power in us. His life flowing through us. Our will yielded to him. And we're his. We're his. We're a bond slave. In Galatians 3, I'll just read it here, 26 and 27, it says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus. For as many as of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You get that? "For as many as you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So we're baptized into him. We're baptized into him. Did you read the one in Colossians, Abner? Buried with him in baptism? Yes. So I'll just leave that. Abner covered that one there. Another point here is we're baptized into the body. And it ties right along with baptized into Christ. But as you are baptized, you are identifying with the people of God. You're baptized into the body. It says, "For by one Spirit," this is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." So as you, when you're baptized, you're baptized into the body of Christ. You're joining the people of God. You're joining church. You're baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or Gentiles. Okay, another point here is baptism is part of salvation. Baptism is part of salvation. Years ago, before I was baptized or had my believer's baptism, we were at Faith Christian Fellowship in Ohio, and they were having communion there that day, that weekend we were there. And I asked about, you know, going along with communion there. And but they were very kind and talked to me, met with me, but they felt like that if I wasn't baptized, I shouldn't go ahead with communion. I should wait and be baptized first before I have part of communion. And I didn't quite understand it all at the time, and that was fine. I didn't struggle with that. But they explained to me that, you know, it's not that if I died right then, they didn't feel like I was lost. You know, we don't feel like that baptism, you know, there's some groups that believe in baptismal regeneration, is that what you call it, I think? And that, you know, the thief on the cross, Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He wasn't baptized. He died not being baptized, and he went to heaven. We have no doubt of that. And so we don't believe that, you know, they told me that they don't think that if I died, then I would be lost, but that the work of salvation wasn't yet fully completed. It's you know, he that believeth and is baptized, you know, repent and be baptized. It's kind of a package. And until you're baptized, your salvation experience isn't consummated, isn't fully, complete. And, so we don't join it so closely that, we embrace baptismal regeneration as some would, but yet, I think it's good for us to realize that over and over in the Bible, they're joined together. They're joined together. And I think we need to acknowledge that. Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Believe and be baptized. I'll read another one here. Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. They believed and they were baptized. And then their salvation experience was fully sealed, fully complete. I referred to this one here already, and I might just read these. I'll not make you turn to all of them. In 1 Peter 3, verse 20, it talks about Noah and the ark. And it's like, you know, what happened there? There was a flood that came, right? And the very thing that destroyed the world and all that were outside the ark, it kind of would save them in a way. It says, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Okay, let me read the whole verse here. Which sometimes was disobedient, I'm breaking in here. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein 8 few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Next verse says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism also now doth also now save us. Not the putting away the filth of the flesh, I refer to that, but the answer of a good conscience by the resurrection of Christ, Jesus Christ. So I don't understand that fully, but it says that baptism, obviously here, also doth now save us. It's part of our salvation experience is being baptized. I'm not sure how to break that verse apart completely. Maybe some of you can be more helpful with that. But it's part of salvation. We see that here. There's also the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember the story there where Philip, the Spirit of God came to Philip, the evangelist, and said, go down there to that place. And Philip obeyed, went down there. And he saw this man riding in a chariot, going back home from worshiping in Jerusalem. And he ran along the chariot, and he began this conversation. I think the man called him up in his chariot, didn't he? And the man's there reading in the book of Isaiah. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, no. I need someone to teach me. And Philip got up in the chariot there, and he expounded to him Jesus. And he explained in the prophets who this was the man was reading of. And it says that in verse 35, it says Acts 8:35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. Faith, repentance, baptism, and completes the package of salvation. Maybe it's wrong to call it a package. I'm not sure. The experience of salvation. Apostle Paul is another example. When Ananias went to him, and he laid his hands on him and prayed that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as if it had been scales, and received his sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And we could, you know, there's more. The woman Lydia, seller of purple, when Paul spoke to her, the Lord opened her heart and she gave heed, and she was baptized, and they lodged with her in her house. The jailer there says that the same night he was baptized in all his straightway. So, I just want to make the point here that in the Scriptures, faith in Christ and baptism, it's all part of the salvation experience. I'll talk a little more about some of that a little later. Okay, hold your seat here. Some of you might react. Some of this could be a little bit of thin ice here. But as I was looking at baptism in the Scriptures, I came across a subject here that the Bible talks about quite a bit, and I want to talk about it. I believe we need to hear it. I believe we don't want to react to the wrong focus of it. There is a biblical focus of this subject. I just want to bring it up here. What did John say as he was out there baptizing there in the Jordan River? What did John say? He says, I'm not he, but someone else is coming who will what? He said, I baptize with water, but another one's coming who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with Holy Ghost and with fire. And I'm not going to make a big thing of it. I believe there's over-focus of it. I don't believe we should be searching for some emotional experience necessarily. I don't believe we should. I believe there's danger in seeking for some kind of big emotional experience. But brothers and sisters, the Scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit. It does. And I pray often that God would fill me with His Holy Spirit. And the Scripture says He'll give it to those who ask. He'll give it to those who obey. Is God going to fill you with His Holy Spirit if you're living a carnal life?
No.
Living for yourself?
No.
Not sensitive to your, not keeping your conscience clear? No. But if you walk with God, you keep your conscience clear and you say, Lord, I want to serve you. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. He will. He will. It doesn't have to be some mystical experience. I like to make it simple. That it's God dwelling in us, right? Jesus says, the Comforter will come. He says, He's with you now, but He will be in you. Who was with Him? It was Jesus. But He's going to come by the Spirit and dwell in them. So it's God in us, the hope of glory. That's very, and as He's in our life, and we surrender to Him, He wants to fill us with Himself. He wants to make His Spirit flow out of us as we minister. He wants to give us power to live the Christian life. Amen? That I like to think of it in a simple way like that. That it equips us to be of service to Him. It gives us power to minister to people, to witness to people, to speak for Him. As many of the things that happen by the Spirit of God. It leads us, it comforts us, many, many different things, the Holy Spirit that Jesus does through His Spirit in our lives. So Jesus wants to do more for us than have us get wet. He wants to fill us with the power to live the Christian life. Water by itself doesn't do anything. We can go in a sinner and come out a wet sinner. I'll just say that as you look in the Bible at the different baptisms, and the filling of the Holy Spirit, sometimes it happened after baptism. Sometimes it happened before baptism. And it's not necessarily directly connected to baptism in every case. There at the Cornelius' house, was Peter's preaching to them, the Holy Spirit came on them before they were baptized. Later on, it came not even at the moment, but after they were baptized at different places. And I don't believe it's a once and done thing. You can look in the disciples' lives there, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit more than once. And we need fresh infillings. I need it. There's times I get so weary and get worn down, and I just need a fresh touch of the Spirit of God in my life. So let's look at a few verses here. I mentioned this one here. Luke 3:16. John answered, saying to them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. God wants to baptize us, to fill us with the Holy Ghost, to baptize, I can't think of the word that, what it means in the Greek there. It's not immerse, but it's sort of like that, to fill us with the Holy Ghost with fire. In Acts 1, verse 4 and 5, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. So he points back to John's baptism. That was water. But Jesus wants to baptize us, not just with water, brothers, but with the Spirit of God. More than water. We want more than water. We want the Spirit of God to fill and control our being.
Amen.
Acts 2:38-39 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He wants to give it. There's a promise to us. It's part of our inheritance to have the Holy Spirit of God. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. That means Nathan, Timothy, and Andrew. All who our Lord our God shall call. Okay, I think that's enough on that one. There's more scriptures we could look at, but I don't want to belabor it. So I wanted to mention here about, I titled it here, Come and Ask. Come and Ask. We mentioned it at the brothers' meeting, but a lot of you are not at brothers' meeting. You younger ones and you sisters. But I believe we have not maybe been as clear on how we operate here some, as far as baptism. I think sometimes we've been waiting on you, and you've been waiting on us. And we haven't done the best in pursuing people either. I'll just acknowledge that. We haven't been the best in being clear on how we operate here. But feel free to come ask. If you've found the Lord and you want to be baptized, come ask. We don't feel like it has to be a big group. We'd be happy to baptize one. Amen. You know, after fellowship meal, we can load up and head down to the water and have a baptism. You know, what a blessing when one person stands up and says, I'm going to follow Jesus. It doesn't matter what my friends do or not. If I'm the only one, I'm going to follow Jesus. That's a blessing. And we love that kind of heart. And there is a, you know, we understand, and I believe it's wise for parents. There's often at times parents want to, maybe of younger children, want to give it some time, make sure it's clear. We're fine with that. That's perfectly understandable. Give it time, make it clear that they can go into the water and it's clear. We understand that. But if it's clear, we don't feel like it has to wait a long time either. So come and ask, and we can have a baptism. We don't want to just have a spring and fall, not knocking anybody, but we don't want it to become just a ritual that, you know, there's just so many baptisms a year, but we want to have it flexible where we can have a baptism whenever we need to have a baptism. So I've mentioned that as far as it being connected with, I covered that already, it's fine. All right, let's see. I think that's about all I have. There's much more that could be said on it. But, yeah, Jesus was baptized. We don't have to understand it all. We can follow Him. Repentance, confession of sins are tied in there with baptism. It follows salvation, not the other way around, right? Baptism follows salvation, not a reverse order. It's separation from the old life. Israel, forever. The power of Egypt and the connection with Egypt was forever destroyed. It's identification with Christ. It's joining our life with Him. It's being baptized into His body. It completes the salvation experience. And We want more than getting wet. We want the power of God in our life, His Spirit living and filling us. So God bless you. We're excited. We've prayed much for this day. And God bless you, Nathan, Timothy, and Andrew. And I'll turn the time back over to Abner, or do they come right on up? Okay. I'm sure you remember your order. So just come on up here and use this mic here, I guess. So God bless you.